FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's January 2nd, 2017. Happy New Year's to all of you out there. Hope this year really is an amazing year for you. And, well, got somebody here who's got an amazing story to tell. He's a venture capitalist, runs a fund, amazing entrepreneur, and also is just releasing his third book tomorrow. So it was a difficult choice to decide what to speak about. So we'll talk about a couple of things. His name's Kamal Ravikant. Kamal, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, so
Happy New Year.
Hey, thanks. You too. So you run a fund called Evolve, and you're an investor in a number of tech startups, Slack, Ship, Clearbit, Poshmark. I don't even know what these companies are. And your new book is Rebirth, which is actually published by Hachette, a real publishing company, unlike my book, which is coming out in the next couple of weeks, called Viral Podcasting, which I am self-publishing.
But, it's a great title.
Yay, thanks. And hey, we're really thrilled to have you on the show and want to talk about this book because, like all first novels, it is somewhat autobiographical, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is. It is.
So tell us, what is it about?
It's actually about, based on my experience when I was 20, we were talking about this, I was 25, actually, when my dad died. And but I turned 26 shortly after. My dad and I weren't close. My parents were divorced when I was a kid. But I was with him the night he died. And he had asked me to take his ashes to the Ganges. That's the tradition of his ancestors. And when I was with him that night, I promised him I would in the hospital. And so 13 days later, I was in a plane to India, this foreign land, and took his ashes there. And I was supposed to come home 3 weeks later. I came home 8 months later.
Wow.
And while I was there, I just ended up like traveling around, backpacking, just wandering. I was lost. I'd lost my job. I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do in my life. I had no money and I was trying to come to terms with the death of this man. I had all these emotions about that were unresolved. And I think I had like $3,000 to my name at that point, at that time. And with those $3,000, I managed to, series of events, end up in Europe and end up in Spain, walking an old 11th century pilgrimage called the Camino de Santiago. It runs from the French-Spanish border all the way to the Atlantic Ocean, and it's 550 miles long. And I walked the whole thing. You know, I slept in ruined castles and, you know, wheat fields and vineyards and churches And that walk was one of the most transformative things in my life. I met people from all over the world who come to do it, and they share with me the stories of their lives. And like, it really, like, by the time I did finish that walk, it was like when I went to boot camp when I was 18. I was I was better in so many ways. And so when I came back, I knew I had a story to tell. So I started working on it. And it's a story I've been working on for a very long time. And I've had success as a writer with my other books. But this is a story that I just need to tell. So I finally sold it to Hachette in the fall last year, and then worked on it this year. But I made it fiction because I've learned so much, you know, having built companies and failed and succeeded and failed, and all these other life experiences I've had, I've learned a lot more since then, since I was, you know, 25, 26. So by fiction, I was able to layer those life lessons in. And so that's what the story is about. But this, you know, this guy, this 26-year-old guy, actually, I think I made him 27, but, you know, you get the idea.
A little poetic, you know, license that never hurt anyone.
Yeah. But walking the Camino de Santiago after the death of his father and the people he meets. But because I made a fiction, I could like create characters and like weave in new life lessons. And I really believe in everything I've done and experienced, I really believe it's about the inner game, about working on the inner self and who we are that really creates the outer game, that creates our lives. So I was, you know, wove a lot of that, all of that into the book. So, but as you follow him along the journey, my goal is that, like, you know, some of those lessons are like layered into the reader as well, so that the reader is better at the end of the story, as just as the main character is better.
Yeah.
So that is the book. It's called Rebirth.
That's really, really interesting. And so when you're going on this journey here, you're obviously lost as a person.
Very.
Where do you feel it's taking you as you're on the journey? Because you don't really know where you are, do you? You're lost.
You're lost. You're trying to figure things out, and people are sharing with you the stories of their lives, and you're trying to learn from them, and they're learning from you. You know, it's always a two-way street. No matter how lost we think we are, we have something to share with others. You know, we all have our unique life experiences. And, you know, the beauty of actually writing fiction is you can show a whole character arc. You can show growth. You can show life lessons being incorporated. That is like one thing fiction allows you, that sometimes in life you have to actually, you know, you incorporate those lessons much later. So I think fiction is actually a great way to share life's truths. I mean, look, like storytelling, you know, is what, you know, one of the key things that makes us humans, you know, before the written word, you know, how did we pass down information was through storytelling.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Storytelling is fundamental. It's funny how things connect. In my book, Viral Podcasting, which tells you how to become a successful podcaster, storytelling is a major component of that. Because if you can't tell a story, it's going to be really difficult to succeed. And my mentor in this, Valerie Geller, says, before we had written stories, the way that people communicated was through oral stories, you know, oral storytelling. And that was, and that is kind of in our DNA, really, you know. So being able to tell those stories verbally is very basic to our nature.
I think we need it, you know, like it's one of the things that makes us human. Like every culture has their own tradition of it. And, you know, that's how culture gets passed down. That's how knowledge gets passed down. That's how wisdom gets passed down. You know? So that thing, you know, the people, you know, decry about the age and this, all that, but storytelling will always be there. You know, you can have it come in different forms. But yeah, I'm actually looking forward to reading your book.
Oh, well, podcasting. You will get a copy. So it's kind of my journey in the podcast world over the past 5.5 years. And not as profound as yours, I assure you. But it's a little more practical, down to earth. I didn't have any religious or consciousness raising experiences, at least not in the way that you did. I did have some depressing moments, though, I will tell you that.
That's always part of the journey, you know?
As I write in there, if you build it, they're not necessarily going to come. In fact, they probably won't. So, you know, like so many people out there tell you, just do this and they'll come. You know, you'll have an audience. And it's like, yeah, right. Yeah. You know, they're not going to come unless you give them a reason to and make them really want to come. They're not going to come. And, you know, yeah, it's just, you know, but it's not as profound as yours. I mean, mine was more of a practical manual, holistic approach towards, you know, I guess so many people, they have a good podcast and they just haven't connected all the dots. And that's what I'm trying to, help them do here is connect the dots. But you're kind of connecting the dots in a different way here of a spiritual journey in life. And, you know, I kind of relate to this, Kamal, because if your life is not a spiritual journey, if it's just an economic journey or a family journey or whatever, aren't you really missing out on a large part of what life is about?
Yeah. And I think, you know, like, I'll give you an example from entrepreneurship, right? From business. Look, my first company that I got involved in Silicon Valley, you know, helped build that. It went public, you know, quite a big, you know, if you look back, wow, that was impressive. Then I've done companies that completely failed and I lost everything. The problem, if we just make it about business, because I was caught up in that, is that my sense of self became about that. So if my company, you know, if I'm doing something and it's doing well, then I'm doing well, I'm good, I'm worthy. Versus if it's not doing well, I'm not worthy, I'm a failure, this, you know, that's ridiculous. You know, whereas if you work in your inner self, you know, what you call the spiritual journey, it's just everything's an expression of who you are and you're putting it out to the world. How the world takes it is up to the world. You just do your best and put it out. And I think you create better that way, and you're far more fulfilled that way. And you don't, I think there's a Rudyard Kipling poem, and I'm going to paraphrase it badly, but something like to take, true success is actually like recognizing victory and defeat as the imposters that they are. Mm. You know, and there's truth in that, because that's all, you know, we can't tie our sense of self to that. Our sense of self has to come from something deeper within, and the irony is the stuff that comes out is better, whatever it is, whether it's family, relationships, work, the whole thing.
Yeah, for sure. And I just remember you bring up Rudyard Kipling, and the lines that come into my mind are, ours is not to reason why, ours is but to do or die, talking about the life of a soldier in the English Empire.
And that's a great one. Yeah.
It's fascinating. So you make this journey and you come home. So we're kind of leaving off the book now.
Sure.
And what happens after you get home and you've gone through all this, you know, your state of mind and your life, what happens?
Well, I came back and I had literally, then I think I was down to like $60 or $30. And I borrowed a few hundred bucks from a friend and lived in a friend's house and wrote the very first draft of the story. And, I didn't know that well how to write yet. I mean, I've been writing, but I didn't know what writing entailed. And I wrote this for the book over 6 months, I think. And I remember when I finished, I went to a Barnes & Noble and I was looking through the, just, you know, books they recommended. And I picked up Hemingway's Farewell to Arms. And I started reading Farewell to Arms. And I remember by the end of the first paragraph, I was crying. It was like, oh my God, this is real writing. And I just spent 6 months just writing a pile of just garbage. But it gave me like a compass, like where to go to what real writing was. So over the next decade, I went off to Silicon Valley after that, and just dot-com boom was happening and got involved in startups, and I was, working my butt off. But at night, on weekends, whenever I was free while people were going out and partying, I was like rereading and Hemingway and all the great writers and learning from them and writing and rewriting and sending stuff out to publishers and agents and getting rejected for a decade. You know, I was like, the rejections were like, started off from like the classic, form letters. And over a decade, they went from like form letters to signed letters to like personal handwritten notes to emails to phone calls to in-person meetings. You know, and I just kept at it. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, my God, what kind of fool does that? Just keeps on taking that punishment and keep going, And all the time I was just building startups. And my last one that I built, I self-funded for a long time and it was doing really well. And then it blew up and I literally lost everything. I was in credit card debt and, just like really depressed out of my mind. You know, my sense of self was all wrapped up in that. And I was really like depressed, suicidal, sick. It was like, talk about a bottom, right? I say to say I was depressed would have been a good day. And one morning I woke up and I decided, I couldn't take it anymore. I was either going to get out of this or die trying. And I set out to get out of it by working my inner self. And whatever, I just started doing things. And the ones that worked, I did them more. The ones that didn't, I didn't. And I figured out a system for me that really, really worked and changed things around for me. And so I started sharing my friends and they were all, and help them. And they, a few people convinced me to write it down. So I wrote it down and I self-published it and I was terrified. I thought I was going to destroy my career in the Valley and be a laughingstock in a little book called Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends on It. And
it does.
Self-published that book. Huh?
And it does.
It does. No kidding, right?
It does depend on it.
No kidding. And I hid underneath the table and within a month, it was the number one self-help book on Amazon. And it's gone on to still one of the best-selling books on Amazon 4 years in a row. Got like 2,000-something reviews. And it changed my life. Because I put my real, honest self out to the world. Like, this is who I am. This is what I've done. This is exactly how anyone can copy it. And because I shared my human self, it's a huge lesson. We share our human selves. We connect with people across all different spectrums and boundaries. And also, I think what a lot of people don't realize is that it was a decade or more than a decade of writing and rewriting and getting all those rejection letters and becoming a better writer that allowed me to write Love Yourself so simply. I wrote it so simply, but that's craft. you know, it takes a lot of work to write simply versus to write, you know, complicated. And after that, you know, I wrote a second book, Live Your Truth, that does well. And then the novel, which has always been a huge passion project of mine, I decided to go with traditional publishing, and I got the exact publisher I wanted, Hachette, and they're wonderful. And they're just amazing, great team. And I'm glad I'm going this route. And then worked on that all year. In the meantime, I built my own venture capital firm. And now, instead of building startup companies, I invest in startup companies. I advise entrepreneurs from all my experience and all my connections. So that was kind of like the journey after I came back from that trip.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's interesting. It's a fascinating odyssey that you've been on, and that you've learned from it and grown. Because if you don't grow, I mean, really, what are you doing in life? You know,
you're dying.
Yeah, it's grow or die. Just like companies need to grow or die, individuals, you need to be growing. If you don't grow, then it makes your life, just meaningless, at least for me. I got to be improving my podcasting. I have to be doing something. It's so important just to make it work and make it good. Otherwise, I feel like limited amount of time. What am I doing here? And I'm not enjoying it. Anyway, enough about me. So your book, it's out tomorrow, Amazon, I assume, and probably
fine books are sold, independent bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.
That's such a great thing to be able to say, wherever fine books are sold, because I got to say, hey, you can get it on my website or Amazon and a couple of other places, but if they sell fine books, they probably won't have my book.
I don't know, that yours actually sounds really valuable.
It is. I wrote it like to help you succeed. And, you know, do you know how many podcasters there are out there now? Come on. All right. So I went to a recent conference up in Tampa. It's the largest independent podcasting meetup group in the country. They've got 500 something members. This guy, Chris Kimitzos, a fellow former New Yorker, said that there's 350,000 people podcasting right now, and that in the next 5 years, there's going to be a million. And there's nobody out there that knows how to really make a show go viral. I mean, there are people that do it accidentally, but I'll just throw out one tip. It's like, it's so simple. I missed it the first time out, but I caught it this time. Uh-huh. It's like the most important thing before you start up is pick the right name. All right. I will tell you that as much as I'm attached to Financial Survival Network, it doesn't really do it. Viralpodcasting.com, on the other hand, that is a name. So that's just one thing that I've learned from almost 6 years of torture. Some of it torture, a lot of it pleasure. So I feel like that life experience, there's a million people out there chasing the dream. Maybe I can help a few thousand of them actually get there. It's definitely worth it.
I totally agree. And I think podcasting is amazing because it's so much, you know, you have access to so much wisdom and knowledge because of podcasting. All these people that, you know, normally would have, you know, like traditional media, you know, there's so many gatekeepers and to get through, you know, to there. It's almost like you've got to be one of the chosen ones and you got to play the game versus podcasting. You know, you get on the right podcast that wants to listen to your story. And that, you know, if they have an audience, all of a sudden, you know, you get to share your stuff. It's great.
Exactly.
It democratizes, you know, that just being able to share information. That's one of the things I love about the internet, about what, you know, I've built in my career.
Yeah, it's so great. I mean, and you can do what you love, you know, and that's something going back to your story is you figured out what you loved and you didn't love really building these companies, but you did love helping others to realize their vision, obviously. And that's what you're doing now. So what's better than that?
I'm very fortunate.
And you're writing, you know, and hey, that's such a great thing. Anyway, Kamal, we have to go. Your website for your fund and the book and...
Well, for the book, it's simple. It's rebirthfable.com. You know, or, you know, wherever fine books are sold. My website for the fund is just evolve.vc, evolve.vc, but there's not much information there because it's a private fund.
Sure.
So you won't find much on there, just like a little landing page.
So you say you don't have to deal with the government and all their ridiculous demands, regulations, and
unfortunately,
harassment.
I do. You can't escape from that.
Well, maybe President Trump will give you guys a break. We can only hope. I'm not that optimistic, but hey.
Yeah, I'm trying to be cautiously optimistic, honestly. You know, like, I hope he does. I hope there's some really interesting things that he could do that I think he's got the mandate for. Let's see how he actually, how he executes.
And the team. I mean, he's got some really interesting people that he surrounded himself with that you'd never see a politician ever put into an administration before, outside the Beltway, guys. I didn't want to make this about
I agree.
But really interesting people, business-oriented.
Find fascinating. I'm very curious to see what happens here.
Hey, my whole bitch about government, pardon the French, is that these idiots that they put into place here, these guys have never had to make a payroll. They don't know what it's like to roll out a product or a program and watch it flop or not make back its investment or be approaching failure and all your assets are on the line because you've pledged everything to the bank, right? They don't know anything about what's involved here. Trump is a guy who was pretty much on the balls of his ass, you know, facing complete financial failure. I mean, his father was writing him checks, buying chips at his casino, a couple $1 million worth of chips at a time to bail him out. I mean, you know, he's got plenty of flaws. We all do. Let's face the facts. But the guy came back from failure. So he gets it. You know, entrepreneurial risk. We aren't getting out of the mess we're in with the government saying, do this, do that. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, enough of that. But I really enjoyed your story here.
Thank you.
You know, because you don't learn from your successes. You learn from your failures. And I think that's the biggest lesson in life is don't get too attached to your successes. Learn from your failures and you'll have a lot more successes to talk about. So on that note, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. We will have a link to Kamal's book site there for any questions, comments, whatever to Kamal. Just send me an email, kl@carrielutz.com, kl@carrielutz.com. Twitter feed is @CarrieLutz. Our Facebook page is Financial Survival Network, if that's what turns you on. I just, in that group, I just excerpt a lot of funny articles. I want to create what we call the duh competition. That's D-U-H for, as in, who puts the duh in Florida? So, you know, because there's just so many great stories, like no place else does a kid pick up like a 4-foot alligator off the side of the road, drive up to a Wendy's and throw it in the drive up window and then drive away and leave his credit card receipts so the cops can find this kid, you know, only in Florida. So I think we will have the duh awards. I better go trademark it before somebody steals it because they always steal everything from
me. I like that duh award.
Yeah, don't you think it's got a nice ring to it?
It's catchy.
The annual duh awards. I mean, you know, we got more politicians going to jail in this state. I mean, the awards just write themselves. So anyways, we're going to start the duh awards on fake book or farce book or whatever you call that thing. So just keep up with us. We want emails. It's a lot of fun having people like Kamal come on, tell your stories to us. It's all about the stories. So we've got a lot of them. Just keep coming back. We're getting back to our regular, picking up steam, getting back to our regular schedule. Hey, Kamal, we'll have you on back on again. And it's been a total pleasure. Good luck for the coming year.
Thank you, sir. You as well.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.